Yud Aladir, Wednesday the 14th of May, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Pesach Sheni.
Hi, good morning. Sorry for the last minute rush. This topic we discussed 5 years ago on Pesach Sheni. I'm assuming you all remember it. However, the organizer felt it was an important topic and it would be worthwhile repeating. It'd be good chazorah, and maybe there'll be one or two people who weren't here 5 years ago might find it of interest. And also, you know, very often a parsha in the Torah is repeated, Mnesha Dovash and Nischadishbo. And on the last occasion I was here, there were 18 questions. Now it's gone up to 20 questions. So let's get started on the problems. But before we start, let's just deal with the day. We call it Pesach Sheni, just like we have a Pesach Rishon, which obviously comes in Pesach on Nisan. This is the second Pesach, Pesach Sheni. However, the Gemara in various places calls it Pesach Cotton, in the same way as you have a Purim Gadol, the main Purim, and a Purim Cotton. And it's called in the Gemara Purim Cotton, and in the Aramaic parts.
I'm talking, sorry.
Yeah.
Give yourself a minute to.
I'm coming, it's okay, it'll be okay. Don't worry, it's quiet. Thank you very much.
I'll give you 20 seconds, and you're not talking now. Give yourself a minute.
Okay, now. The Tzibur comes first. Now, it's the Pischa Ze'ira, it's called, in Megillas Tainis. And the reason is because there are fewer mitzvahs to do on Pesach Sheni, number one. And of course, it's a tofel to the main Pesach in the same way as Purim Cotton doesn't have all the dinim of Megillah, etc. So that's what it was called, the Pesach Cotton. However, we've made it into a Pesach Sheni, because of the fact that it's, that we mentioned before. That's how we know it as such. Now, what is Pesach Sheni? There's a famous machlokas in the Gemara and Pesachim. Three different tanoim discuss exactly the significance. One says it's a tashlumin, one says it's a takanta, and Rebbe, whom we passing like, says it's a regel bifnei atzma. What that means is complicated, and there's a lot of machlokas in the poskim is exactly what the significance of all this is. There's a difference between a person who was amazed on the first, on the didn't bring the korban, but amazed on the first Pesach, or maybe a person could have, if he was an honest on the first Pesach, but he didn't manage to bring the second Pesach. What would the din be in all these circumstances? It's very tricky, very complicated, and we're not dealing with that today. That you have to look in Maseches Pesachim Daf Tzadik Gimel, and in the Rambam and the Poskim, they all discuss that. What we are going to do today is to look at how Pesach Sheni affects us and what it means for us. Now, I can tell you this. I come from a little town called Sunderland, and in Sunderland we never heard of Pesach Sheni. Just never heard of it. Didn't know what it was. We said Tachanun. It just was a day in the calendar which it said Pesach Sheni, but we didn't do anything whatsoever. We didn't eat matzah. We did say Tachanun, unless it was a bris. I don't remember that far back, but I do remember not knowing anything about Pesach Sheni. And the problem was, why not? You come to a Chassidish Beis HaMedrash, there's no Tachanun. Is the reason there's no Tachanun because it's a Chassidish Beis HaMedrash, or some Rebbe's Yahrzeit, or is it because Taka Pesach Sheni is Pesach Sheni? Now, even the Chassidim, who do not say Tachanun Pesach Sheni, do say Tachanun on the Mincha beforehand. Now that's unusual, because if it's a proper Yom Tov, you wouldn't. The only time you don't say Tachanun on the Mincha before we an Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we don't say Tachanun on the Mincha before, you do Erev Yom Kippur, because they're not proper Yom Tov. They're important days, but you don't say. They don't have the din of allowing the night, the day before, to have this lack of Tachanun. And Pesach Sheni is the same as that. If you go to Golders Green Bus and Medrash, if I'm not mistaken, they do say Tachanun in the morning, but not at Mincha. That is, there is such a minhag of half-day Tachanun. sort of, don't say it, you say in the afternoon, because that's when they actually did the hakrov of the Korban Pesach. Where the minhag comes from, I can't tell you, but it's quite clear there is such a minhag. So we see there's a lot of problems relating to exactly what the din is for us. But the interesting thing is, if Pesach Sheni is so important, why do we not all not say Tachanun? And if you look at Shulchan Aruch, it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Why did the Poskim forget about it? Where did it go? It's not in the Ramah, it's not in the Mechaba. Nobody talks about it, except the minhag has come nowadays not to say Tachanun. Now, so therefore we've got to look a little bit further back and see what this Pesach Sheni is all about. And then we come to the other 19 questions. One, you would expect it to have been mentioned in the Parshas Hamoedim, just like you've got Chol HaMoed, and you've got Shemini Atzeres, and you've got all the other Moedim. You would expect to find some reference to it. If you didn't manage to bring the Korban Pesach, replace it with the Pesach Sheni. No. There are five places in Chumash where the Moedim are set out in full. Three of them have got all the Shalosh Regalim, two of them have also got Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The five places are Mishpatim, Kisisa, Emor, Pinchos, and Re'eh. Now, those five places represent the following. The first place represents the harvest festivals. That's why the Yom Tovim are all called by their harvest names. Chagat Kotzir, Chagat Osif. You come to Kisisa, I call the nationalistic part. They will have the bank holiday aspect. Just like you've got Thanksgiving in America, and you've got you've got the Queen's birthday, etc., and you've got May Day coming up. There's another May bank holiday coming up. We've also got our bank holidays, which is the Yom Tovim, and it's a nationalistic day, as it says, Kiyachiv Gavulcha, that you don't have to worry about anybody attacking your land. So that's all in Kisisa. You come to Emor. Emor is the ritualistic aspect of Yom Tovim, all the different mitzvahs you've got to keep. You've got the shofar in an indirect way, so Yom Truah. You've got the lulav and the esrog. You've got all these things in Emor. They come to Pinchas, it's a sacrificial Yom Tov. All the sacrifices you brought in the Musafim. And finally, it's the social welfare part. The mitzvahs you've got to do in order to help other Yidden, the mitzvah stocker, and the fact that you've got to make sure that everybody's got aser to aser, etc. But none of those five places is there any single reference to Pesach Sheni. Now that's very remarkable, because if Pesach Sheni is meant to be an adjunct to Pesach, it's meant to be a tikkun for the fact you weren't able to bring it to Tashlumin or whatever it is, it should have been mentioned there. No, it's not. The only place you will find it is in Parshas Bahalosecho, where it's talking about the people who were, they were Tzmeim or Nefesh, and they complained. Now that leads us to, maybe we go down the list here, keep to the list, it'll be, so we don't miss one out. Having said that, we've already mentioned it's not a Yom Tov in any way. Why not? The Pesach was a Yom Tov. There should be some aspect of Yom Tov. I've already said that we don't keep any Yom Tov at all. But even a person who brought the Korban Pesach has no Issa Malacha. It's not like a Yom Tov at all. Question number three. We've already mentioned that. No Tachanun. We've mentioned that. Number four is a very difficult question, which is asked. Many people ask, in particular, Osnan Matura gets very, very worked up about it. He says, wherever do you find a mitzvah? If you didn't do it, you get a second chance. Now, if you didn't bring the lulav on Sukkot, you know when your second chance is, it's next Sukkot. You didn't manage this Sukkot, you'll do it next Sukkot. You didn't hear the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Have everybody heard everybody blowing the shofar in Cheshvan to make up for the fact you weren't there on Rosh Hashanah? Of course not. It's unheard of. So why on earth do we need a tikkun, making up with a Korban Pesach?
The second day out of Sukkot, you say good afternoon.
All right, but that's the mitzvah to shake it. Well, that's Midrabbanan. That's Midrabbanan, you got the sikkah. And the Mishkan, they brought it every day. That was the mitzvah to bring it every day. But here, the mitzvah is to bring the Korban Pesach on the night of Pesach. You didn't do it, so you bring it next year. Why did the mitzvah? You could answer Pesach is more strict than all the others. It's the only Korban which has got a chorus. You could say that possibly is the difference, but it's very doichek to say such a thing. Anyhow, we'll see, we're going to come back to why Pesach is different, and that's really the essence. Why should the Korban Pesach be different? You don't do all the other mitzvahs. You don't have a second chance normally. Then, the next question is, if you are going to be given a second chance, why a whole year? A whole month, I beg your pardon. Normally you have tashlumin of a korban, you've got 7 days in which to bring it. In this particular instance, why did you not bring the korban Pesach? Normally it could be either because you were away, derech hachoika, or you were tummy. Now how long does it take you to get clean from tumah? Never more than 7 days. So why not make it 7 days? Oh, you need a little bit longer because you might have been on a distant journey. But why a month? How's that going to help? It should have been 2 weeks later. Why a whole month later? It doesn't add up to say that if this is a tikkun for Korban Pesach, and you get a whole month, we've got to wait for it. Do it a week later, or make it elastic, like the Korban of Tashlum, and you can bring it any one of 7 days after the day. Why do we make it a whole month later? Now, this next question, I have repeated before, I love repeating this question, it's a beautiful question, it's actually better when you've got an audience of ladies. The question is from Shlomo Simmerman, who's got a very, very bright approach to things, and he asked the following question. He says, look, if you were to take the one group of people who's likely, most likely to miss the Korban Pesach and require a tikkun, who would that be? And the answer is, not many of us would come tomei mes every day, or every month. You know, if you're a member of the Chevra Kedisha, you're likely to become tomei mes, it's true. But if you're not a member of the Chevra Kedisha, it's not likely that you're going to become tomei mes. Not very often. And, you know, if you know there's a mess in the room, so you stay out of the place. If you're chayav to do it because you're one of the Chevra, okay, so you'll have an exemption. But we already asked, the 7 days should be enough. But the group of people who will normally become tomei every month would be ladies. Every single month, a lady between the age of her menstruation, at, let's say 14, 15, when she starts bleeding, until she's finished with her menstrual periods, when she's about probably 45, however old she might be, 50, whatever it is, during that period she's going to be tomei every single month. And we know that the women are equally chayav in Korban Pesach as men. Because we know that although women are potter from all Mrs. Hasesh as man grandma, they're not potter on Shabbos, and they're not potter on Pesach, because that's just too important. That although the reason for Mrs. Hasesh as man grandma being potter is because she's too busy looking after the family, she hasn't got time to deal with the lulav, we don't want to make have to listen to the show from Midaraisa, the Chacham exempted them because they've got more important things to do. However, why Pesach and Shabbos are so important that they never got an exemption. And the din is, if they were tomei on Pesach, they can't bring the Korban Pesach. If that's so, why did the Torah provide a 1 month later period, when if the woman had been tomei 15th of Nisan, 14th of Nisan, she's going to be tomei again on the 14th of Iyar by the normal thing, that we have a rule of the 30 days being this stam, just a cycle of for an SS. So in that case, she's going to be tomei next time. So why give the tikkun on a day when she's not going to be able to make it? It just doesn't make sense. However, somebody said, well, women are not chayav in Pesach Sheni. That's not entirely true. Women are not chayavos in Pesach Sheni, but they are allowed to bring. It's a reshus. The Rambam says that they don't have to bring the Pesach Sheni, it's a reshus that they can. This is another question. Why, if they were chayav in Pesach Rishon, are we not machayav them in Pesach Sheni if they couldn't bring the Pesach Rishon? Why is it only a reshus? If we didn't bring the Pesach Rishon, are chayav in Pesach Sheni. A woman who didn't bring the Pesach Rishon, she's only a reshus to bring the Pesach Sheni. Why should that be? In fact, it's just two sides of the same question as to why she is... why we didn't make a tikkun for her, and why, if it is a tikkun, why is it only a reshus? Right, quickly through the next questions. Why do we allow chometz on Pesach Sheni? And there's a whole shaila as to whether you can eat the chometz together with the Korban Pesach in the same mouthful, or whether you've got to keep it separate, but there's no doubt about it, there's no issa of Bal Yeroah, you don't have to get rid of the chometz. Next question. We have a minig, I don't have the minig, but many people have the minig to eat matzah on today's meals, but if you went back to Erev Pesach, you wouldn't be allowed matzah. So why is it that you're allowed matzah, and not only allowed matzah, people have a miniature davka to eat matzah today, when on Erev Pesach it's also to eat matzah. You're not allowed to eat the matzah on Erev Pesach because you've got to be ready for the night. That's another question. Next question. Where are we up to? Why is the Pesach Sheni not in the Torah as a mitzvah? It only came in after the Tameim LeNefesh complained. They complained, we can't keep it because we're Tameh. Oh, we'll look after you, we'll make a new Yom Tov for you. What's going on here? The Torah should have provided, just like it provided Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah, it should have provided Pesach Sheni. Only when they complain to Moshe does he come along and give them Pesach Sheni. And if you look at the Parsha, it's out of order. It's not in the right chronological order. If you look at Rashi, it seems to be in the wrong place. And secondly, also, if you look at the parasha, it starts off talking about Pesach. They were complaining about Pesach, Pesach, Pesach. And then Moshe says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a Pesach Lashem. Pesach Lashem, Pesach Lashem, Pesach Lashem. So the first half of the parasha where they're complaining and objecting, it says Pesach. We want to keep the Pesach. And then Moshe Rabbeinu turns around to him and says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a special, I've got the Rishus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow you to bring a Pesach Sheni, and it's going to be a Pesach Lashem, Pesach Lashem, Pesach Lashem. Why is the Shem added in the second half, but not in the first half? That was question 12 in this list. The very famous question, in the first Pesach it's called Matzos Al Meroirim, and in the second it's Al Matzos Umeroirim. Why the change of the word Al from between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? And here comes a very famous question for that. God, when we have Koirach, why do we quote in Koirach, we quote Pesach Sheni Pasuk. It should have been the Pesach Rishon Pasuk, the Pesach Rishon. In the Haggadah, when we all said, Zeichel, Amigdash, Kehil, Kenos, Ehil, Bizman, Shabbos, Amigdash, Hamai, Koirach, Matzah, Mora, Ochram, Yachi, Kamosha, Kosuv. Al Matzos Merorim Yochlu. That's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says Matzos Al Merorim Yochlu. Did the Baal HaGadah make a mistake? Oh, and even if you want to say it doesn't really matter which you choose. It's chosen the wrong one because we have a klal in Shas that where there's two psukim in Chumash, you always choose the first one unless there's a jolly good reason not to. Now, the first Pasuk is in Parshas Bo. It says Al Matzos there where it says Matzos Al Meroirim. So why choose the later Pasuk Baal Oschot? It's the wrong Pasuk to choose from any perspective. Why have we got the wrong Pasuk in the Haggadah? Oh, the next few questions are why it keeps emphasizing the fact that the Ger has to keep the mitzvah. Why? In most mitzvahs, it doesn't go around telling you, and not only must you take the lulav, make sure the gerim take the lulav as well. Yet in the Korban Pesach, it's constantly telling us, make sure that the Ger does it too. And, in addition to that, it also mentions a Ben Nechor may not do it, an Apikoros can't take it, and a Goy can't take it. It seems to accentuate the fact, which it doesn't do so in other mitzvahs. Why should that be so? And it goes so far as to say, the Rashi quotes a Gemara where there's a Havamina. You might have thought that anybody who becomes a Ger, on the day he becomes a Ger, he has to bring a Korban Pesach. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You go to the Beis Din. The Beis Din's been through all his preparations to become a Ger. He's got to do Bris Milah. He's got to do Tevilah. He's got to do Kabbalas Ol HaMitzvah. And he's got to bring a Korban Pesach. Can you imagine that what would happen? You have to bring a Korban Pesach in order to become a Ger, the Gemara suggests. And this is Doke. No, it's not true. He doesn't have to bring a Korban Pesach. He can wait till the next Pesach and he'll join in with everybody else. But where did the Havamina come from? Can you imagine such a Havamina? You're a Ger, you've got to bring a Korban Pesach on the day you come a Ger. What's it got to do with the Ger? What's it got to do with Korban Pesach? Where could the Mor even have such a Havamina? It needs to be understood. Right, we're up to 17. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs says that Korban Pesach is a mitzvah of Natsum. Sorry? I missed that 15? That's the Havamina, just don't finish that minute. 16? Oh, the 16 we haven't got time for. A very complicated Balaturim. I suggest you look at it. The Balaturim is very difficult to understand. He says something about the Mon came down on Pesach Sheni, and that's how we have Pesach Sheni on. Because of the Mon came down, that's why there were Koveya, the Pesach Sheni, on that day. It's very complicated. We just haven't got time for it, otherwise we won't get the answers. But I tell you, have a look at the Balaturim. Hopefully, with what I'm going to tell you, you'll be able to fit that in as well. Anyhow, number 17 was, why does the Rambam say Pesach Sheni is a separate mitzvah in the Torah? Normally, the Rambam has Tariag mitzvahs. for example, mitzvah tefillin is to wear tefillin. He doesn't say there's one mitzvah to wear tefillin and a second mitzvah you have to blacken them, make them black. He doesn't say there's a mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh and a separate mitzvah of tefillin shel yad. There's a mitzvah of tefillin. Similarly with all the mitzvah lulav. There's a mitzvah to take arba minim. He didn't say there's a mitzvah to take a lulav, a separate mitzvah to take an esrog. It's one mitzvah arba minim. So when he says Pesach, why does he say that Pesach Sheni is a separate mitzvah? It's a tenai in the first mitzvah. It's a sort of tashlumin for the first mitzvah. And yet the Rambam says, no, Pesach Sheni is a totally different mitzvah. It's one of the Taryag. Now that's peculiar. Because the Rambam in his Shiroshim, if you look through the Shiroshim of the Rambam, he mentions quite clearly there that anything which is a prat in another mitzvah does not qualify to be one of the Taryag. And why is this not just a prat of the other mitzvah? It's clear from the Rambam, it's not just a prat, it's a separate mitzvah. 18. Why did these people complain? Why were they complaining, the Tmeim Nefesh? They complained to Moshe, we couldn't keep the mitzvah. Why? If there's nothing to complain about, onus rachamona patre. If you're onus, you don't have to do it. If chas v'sholem, hatzolah's called out on Shabbos, and they have to be mechal Shabbos to do something, we don't have to say, we'll keep Shabbos again, and we'll have to do teshuvah because we're mechal Shabbos. Of course not. Adarab, that is the kiyum of the Torah. That's what the Torah demands. You've got to do what the Torah wants. The Torah says you've got to be matzil ben nefoshes, you've got to get into hatzolah on Shabbos. So you do it. You don't make it up. So similarly, these people, they were burying people. They were doing the mitzvah of the Chevra Kedisha. That's what happened. And because of that, they became Tomei. But what are they complaining about? So you didn't manage to do it this year. You'll do it next year. Why are they complaining? What was it all about? And we mentioned about the Oral and the Nechor. And the last question we've already mentioned about position. Let's get to the answer, because otherwise we'll run out of time. My suggestion is that we've got the wrong approach to Pesach Sheni if you think it's just a Yom Tov like any other Yom Tov, and it's not the case. Pesach Sheni was something special. The Korban Pesach, in a way, was different from everything else. The Korban Pesach was given by a Kodesh Baruch, and this is the reason why it's got the chorus, and this also helps to explain, and we said before, maybe its chorus is different. The reason is this. We know that when Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt, they had no mitzvahs. They were halalu avodah avodah zorah, the halalu avodah avodah zorah. They were worshipping idols like anybody else. Why were they different? They had the zchus avos. They had four mitzvahs which they kept in Mitzrayim. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu loved Klal Yisrael, and he felt, we can work on them, we can make them better. But in order to make them better, we're going to have to give them something to deserve it. So he gave them the two brisses, the bris of the dam of Dam Milo and the dam Pesach. Mishchu ukhu, says the Pasuk. Says the Medrash, Mishchu ukhu. Mishchu means remove yourself from your Avodah Zorah, clean yourself up from Avodah Zorah and bring the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is the mitzvah which defines the distinction between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim and the Egyptians, because it is the Korban Pesach which takes us away from Avodah Zorah. That's its essence. The essence of the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach is that we should realize that we are Peirish, we're separating ourselves from Avodah Zorah. It's therefore so, so important. It's different from any of the old Stam mitzvahs. Of course, it's very nice to blow the shofar and you do tshuva, and it's very nice to bring the Arba Minim and you have the Simcha of Chag. But it's nothing compared with the cardinal difference between a Yid and a Goy, that we do not worship Avodah Zorah. And that's what the Korban Pesach represents. Now, it's true that Onus Rachamon Apatre, and if you didn't bring it, you don't have to do it. But the poor Tameim Lanefesh was saying, it's right, we are Onus, we're Potter, but we've lost this connection that we are Jewish, that we have an opportunity to demonstrate that we don't worship Avodah Zorah anymore. It's all very well saying we're Potter, Nochanam we're Potter, but we want actually to be Mitzarif, we want to be part of this. So our question was, in that case, Moshe Rabbeinu tell these people that because they are so wanting to be part of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, and they want to be Persian of the Zohar, we're going to give them another opportunity to do it. And therefore, it's not a question of Tashlum and 7 days later. It's going to be given on an occasion where it would be halfway to Shavuos, so to speak, an occasion 30 days afterwards, where it'll be not a tashlumin for the previous Yom Tov, but it'll be an opportunity for them to worship Hashem, and that's why the Pesach changes from Pesach. They complained about a Pesach, but Moshe said, you're going to make this into a Pesach Lashem. It's a special event that you are going to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now with that, all the other questions fall into place. That is why there's a Havamina that Eger should bring it. Eger is, by definition, giving up his Avodah Zarah. He's coming to be Jewish. If he's coming to be Jewish, you might have thought, just as the Tumei Mlo Nefesh had to bring a Korban Pesach, even though it wasn't really Pesach, but it was something to recognize that we are removing ourselves from the Avodah Zarah, so the Eger is doing the same thing. So the Korban Pesach is perfectly opposite. It's perfectly understandable that that would be the Korban to bring. That's the Havamina. And for the Gemara, no. The Ger is joining Klal Yisrael as an equal partner, and he'll have to wait till the next Pesach. But at least there's a Havamina. But that also explains why the Pesach is Madgish. It emphasizes each time that a Ger has to bring it. A Ger has to, must do so, and also why we do not allow a Nochri or a Benecho to bring it, because this is something special. Now, if we look to the women, and Shlomo Simon's Kasha, it also fits in beautifully. The Yidden who sinned in Avodah Zarah were the men. The women did not sin by Avodah Zarah. We know that because we know that the Rosh Chodesh was originally going to be given to the 12 Shvatim, but they sinned with the Eger, and the women didn't sin, and as a result of that, the women were given the Rosh Chodesh. I know the men keep quiet about it, but the women are not supposed to work at Piminek on Rosh Chodesh. Not many people know that Minek because the men don't tell them it, but basically it is so that the women on Rosh Chodesh are not supposed to work hard on Rosh Chodesh because they have the Zchus, that they did not worship the Egel and they didn't give it to Avodah Zarah. We make them bring the Korban Pesach Rishon because that's part of the Yom to the Gula, but they don't need compensation if they didn't bring it. That, as far as they're concerned, it's not so much a Polish from Avodah Zarah. It's the Inyoni Pesach. Masha'en Kain, Pesach Sheini, that's because of Avodah Zarah, the women don't need it. If they want to bring it, not Rishus, we'll let them do it, but they're not Mechuyev to do it. But that explains that Pesach Sheni was never for the women. And if they're going to be Tomei and Pesach Sheni, good luck. It doesn't matter, because it wasn't for them. It was only for the men who needed this Richuk, they needed this removal from Avodah Zarah. So that explains that Kasha beautifully, I think. What Kashas have we not dealt with? That also explains why Bizman Azeh, it's not a Yom Tov. It's nothing to do with Yom Tov. And therefore, we Ashkenazim do say Tachanun. Those who don't say, well, it's a day in the calendar, so therefore it's no worse than the Yotzat. So the Hasidim can say they're exempt themselves. But it's not only them, the Sfardim also don't say Tachanun Pesach Sheni, I believe. But I'm saying we, and the Chazanish definitely, and we Ashkenazim do say Tachanun because it's not a Yom Tov. And that will also explain clearly why it's not part of the other Yomim Tovim. It's not mentioned in the other Yomim Tovim because it's not a Yom Tov. It's a separate Inyan. And it also explains the reason why...
Why was it only in response?
Sorry?
Why was it only in response?
Why only in response? The answer is because it needed somebody to understand that we haven't had this Inyan of cleaning ourselves up. Really, you're potter. But these people went, Lifnim Mishur Sadin, they said, we really would like to be included. And the Koshwa said, they're quite right. Since they're showing such love for the mitzvah, we're going to do it. And that's actually why it's out of context. It's also why this is not a prat of the other mitzvah, why it's a separate mitzvah of the Taryag, and all the other mitzvahs fall into place. We've actually run out of time. If you let me just 2 seconds longer, I'll mention that very, very briefly. Yes. The answer is like this. That the Belzer Rebbe gives the answer that we're hoping that at the Seder night we can't keep Pesach Rishon this year in Yerushalayim because it's too late. So at least we should have an opportunity to achieve it for Pesach Sheni. However, that is a huge machlokus as to whether or not, if Mashiach would come tomorrow, would we all bring a Pesach Sheni? Many people hold it's not possible. If the Rov Tzibur couldn't bring Pesach Rishon, there's no chiv on the... It's only a chiv for the individual, not for the whole Tzibur. So that Belzer Rebbe's answer it may not work l'halacha. But that's what he said. But I'm saying something different. The answer is like this. We are sitting on Pesach night. We're in Golos. And we want to get back to... The Madrega of this Tumeim and Nefesh. What we want to do, we want to be Pirish from Avodah Zorah. That's what the message is. Not from Pesach Risha. Yeah, it's true. Pesach Risha does give you. But the Pesach Sheni is Davka the Mitzvah, which gives us this Inyan. We're in Golos, we want to get back to Yerushalayim. Then make sure that we remove all Avodah Zorah, which is the message of Pesach Sheni. Okay. Voice.